what's the preparation for something like this?
So the first step is just looking at the weather for this evening. We have went ahead and activated the emergency winter weather plan, which will trigger a few different things. It will result in our street outreach teams making some expanded outreach efforts to communicate forecasts to those who might be unsheltered. And they're going to be also operating some motel vouchers to move folks into a sheltered environment who might have barriers to accessing our congregate shelters. And our congregate shelters are also going to be expanding their capacity and accepting persons who have previously been restricted for behavioral or programmatic reasons on a case-by-case basis. There will be some issues still where some individuals with more severe concerns, like, you know, previous incidences of violence, but that's where our hotel vouchers can fill the gap in terms of the need. So right now we are anticipating that this activation is going to be a lengthier one for us. It's probably going to run close to the end of the year. And as you noted, closer to the end of next week, we're going to have some pretty severe temperatures. What had previously been forecasted to be our lows are now going to be our highs for a few days there right around Christmas. So we are definitely looking into making sure that our current capacity is going to be adequate for both daytime and nighttime, checking in with the shelters to make sure that we are going to have sufficient capacity to house everybody at night, but also just being aware that we're going to be in the holiday stretch, making sure that we have information about any kind of closures with any operations because of the holidays so that we can put together some innovative or creative interim solutions as needed.
Does it work a little bit in your favor, I'll put it that way, that there's some days here it's going to be cold, then it's going to really, apparently, like I say, the end of next week, really get cold. So you can, I guess I'm trying to say, get it in the, kind of get ahead of it a little bit before you get that extreme cold?
Yeah, absolutely. It helps a lot. With our population, we have some individuals who can be challenging to locate. And so this gives us several days that we have advance notice before the extreme cold hits that we can make those efforts. Usually what we see in these extended activations is that we kind of build our numbers over a period of several days. And usually by around day three or so, we pretty much have identified and located everyone and gotten them into some kind of a safe accommodation. So this gives us a good lead to make sure that before the more serious weather would get here, we've had ample opportunities to reach everyone and make a plan for all of those that are willing to go to shelter.
And as far as the number of shelters, you know, I guess I can ask this question. So how many actual emergency shelters do we have, and will there be some, you know, supplemental being that will be needed next week?
So right now we don't anticipate that we'll be adding any more shelters than what we presently have, since we do have the motel overflow program. Then we're going to have our three large congregate shelters. That's going to be Hope Center, Salvation Army, and Catholic Action. We do, of course, have a couple of other shelters within our system. We have about eight total. And some of those are going to be very specific to the audience that they serve. For example, Greenhouse 17, winter weather really doesn't change a lot about their operations since they serve the specific population of those that are actively fleeing domestic violence. But our three congregate shelters are definitely going to be expanding their capacity, and between that and our overflow program, we presently, based on the data that we have, believe that that's going to be sufficient. But again, I'm going to be keeping a close eye, checking in with everybody on pretty much a daily basis, have plans to come together with the partners early next week just to see where we're at, since at that time we'll already have a few days of the current activation under our belt, and it will give us a much better sense of where we're at.
And I think I'm right, is there not the what I'll call kind of the annual homeless count that's in January, is that right?
That's correct. In 2022, it was a little bit of an outlier. Fayette County had some high rates of COVID cases around that time, and so we applied for and received from HUD a waiver that allowed us to conduct 2022's count in February. But typically, it is going to be in the last 10 days of January, and this year, we are planning for the evening of Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. That planning process has been underway for over a month now. We're kind of just putting the finishing touches on it. At the start of the year, we're going to officially roll out our volunteer registration for those that like to help us conduct our unsheltered count. And we're going to have plenty of materials going out to our social media to help spread the word. We're also going to be pushing out some print materials to those that are unsheltered just to give them advance notice of the count and that they can expect that we're going to have enumerators going out into the field and conducting some service.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe just one more question related to that. Realizing that that count's still to come, can you say, and I guess it'd be more of a, you know, again, since the count's not been done, but this, say, these next couple of weeks here at the end of this year with this cold weather coming in, if there are more people needing emergency shelter, say, now than compared to a year ago?
So we won't be able to say that right now, but this process should definitely, between this activation, that should give us a lot of information as well as going into the point in time count. And we, as the coordination body for the system, are definitely prepared to review that data routinely and ongoing and make adjustments as needed. We understand that sometimes the data that we had from a previous year might not hold throughout the entire year, and so sometimes there's going to be some adjustments that need to be made, and we're definitely prepared to do that as needed.
All right, well, that's great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
The only other thing I can possibly think of is I know that oftentimes we get a lot of inquiries around the LexCount event and people want to know how they can help. Obviously, we are going to be looking for volunteers to conduct that unsheltered count. Typically, we're going to conduct our count roughly between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight on the evening of the 25th. And then for those that maybe are looking for a different type of opportunity, we're also going to be seeking donations. The Lexington Rescue Mission is going to be coordinating donations this year. We use those to hand out to individuals that are in an unsheltered situation on the evening of the count as a little token of gratitude for taking a few minutes to speak with us and complete a survey, and just to help make sure that they have some supplies that are available to them if they are in an unsheltered situation. So we're going to be looking for donations of things like hats, gloves, scarves, things like prepackaged snacks, bottled water, hygiene items like deodorant, items like chapstick and hand sanitizer that are often needed this time of year. So anyone that's interested in donating can reach out directly to the Rescue Mission at 859-381-9600. They can also reach out directly to the Office of Homelessness Prevention and Intervention, and we'll be glad to help coordinate any donations.